welcome to a two-part edition of Blues Talk today, where I'm joined with Dave, and we're going to discuss the Ireland match against New Zealand at the weekend, and also look forward to the match against Argentina. Also looking at Leinster's match against the Dragons last Friday night, and then looking forward to our game against the Ospreys on Sunday. So Dave, let's talk about the internationals first. Obviously, beaten by a much better team, but a much better performance than we put on against Samoa and the Box.
Oh yeah, it was a much more coherent performance. You could see it. People knew what they were doing. The execution was right. There was a definite game plan. It was played to. The performance was as good as anything Ireland have put in last year, 18 months.
But much higher tempo, wasn't
much,
it?
Much higher tempo. Everything was done. Everything was about the game was better than we had seen before. The worrying thing about it was we still weren't within an ass's roar of them.
Well, you know, we, as Matt Williams calls them, it's the championship moments, and we conceded a try before halftime and a stroke at halftime and a try 5 minutes into the second half, and that killed us. Absolutely killed us. Our, you know, the forwards kicking ball away. Redden missed put up a box kick. I think it was Wallace came through, didn't make the tackle, and they span it and ran it. And they were just, you know, just so clinical and professional.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, mm-hmm. awesome display by the All Blacks.
Oh, they were, but, you know, that's what we have to do. I mean, we're going into this World Cup. We expect to get, or it is expected that we get to a semi-final. If you get to semi-final, you may as well go on and win the thing, or at least try to. So in order to do that, we have to be able to match them in all those moments, championship or otherwise.
But we always seem to do it against the All Blacks. We just press the self-destruct button. You know,
well, they do it. Even as supporters, we know that they have an aura about them because they are, I mean, for all the bloody New Zealand talk, they are the All Blacks. And I mean, it is, they've earned that right. But we have to learn to not respect them, I think, as much as we do.
Yeah.
Because they're 15 men. We have 15 men. You know, our players are bloody good players, as O'Driscoll showed with his try. I don't think there were any All Blacks could have scored that try.
Yeah, maybe we'll just have a quick look.
We'll just have a quick look at O'Driscoll's try, because it is genius. I mean, it's good playing leading up to it. I mean, the ball has got wide. Try to get the offload in, but this is just... It's amazing rugby.
Look at the line he runs, though. He was the first receiver, and then he tracked around and just scooped it up with his left hand.
Yeah.
Just... Brilliant.
I think the ref couldn't believe what happened. That's why he had to go to the TMO. Yeah. You see him here, but I don't think anyone's in any real doubt about it. But when you see the slow-mo, slow-mo's coming up now, and you just see the sheer grace and power.
You notice he doesn't break stride.
No, he doesn't break stride.
Incredible.
Doesn't lose any pace. I mean, it's coming here. I mean, Rob tries to offload here. Jamie, sensibly enough, gets his hand out of the way. But this is just astonishing. It's astonishing stuff.
But his centre of gravity, I mean, he should, like most mere mortals would have toppled over.
Yeah. I mean, it is a thing of beauty. But it's like we always say, you know, you go and see Brian O'Driscoll play, you get at least one moment like that per match. And I'm still amazed by it.
Yeah.
We're not hearing the crowd reaction here, because I think they must have shut off the screen when the video ref was on. I don't know, I wasn't at the match, you were at it. But when you hear the crowd reaction, all you hear is, you don't hear wild cheering. All you just hear is, ooh. I mean, it's disbelief from the crowd as much as anything else. This is probably the best angle, because you just see.
Just brilliant. What a pickup.
Yeah.
But he does that all the time. I mean, how many tries has he scored? He's kind of pirouetted as he goes over the line.
Yeah.
Whereas most of us would just try and dive for the line and get held up. But he knows that if he twists his body that he'll get over.
Well, the thing with O'Driscoll is, it doesn't seem to matter where the ball is, where he is, or where the players that are trying to defend him are, because he's just going to score that try.
Yeah.
And he's going to do whatever it takes, even if it seems to defy the laws of physics to do it.
Mm.
That's one of his great tries, but it's just another one of his great tries.
Yeah.
It's not like that's going to be top of his highlight reel, although it might be. He's just got hundreds of them.
Yeah, he's just a magnificent player, isn't he?
Oh,
we're
he
so privileged. I mean, we've said it before. Just feel so privileged that we are able to go and see him play week in, week out.
Yes, we're very lucky.
Whereas, you know, maybe someone like, I don't know, Ollie Campbell or Fergus Slattery back in the olden days, where you know, it was really was five men and a dog going out to watch Old Belvo or Black Rock or whoever, and really only got a chance to see Campbell play his 20 odd caps for Ireland. That, you know, that's, that was the only opportunity that a large number of people got to see him play.
Of players like Brian O'Driscoll, I think that the game has exploded, because the idea that you can go down to your local ground and see one of the greatest players to ever play the game, almost touch close to him, and see him in all his pomp. It's, I likened it, when we won the year we won the Heineken Cup, we had Rocky and Brian. If you remember, I likened it to being a Manchester United fan in the mid-60s, going down to Best Old Trafford to see Best Lord Charlton.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like with Brian O'Driscoll.
It really is. And but you know, I just going back to the match, like, I just really thought that we had such an opportunity there, but we blew it again. And we blew it by just making really, really poor decisions. But, you know, you can't take anything away from the All Blacks, just the way that they were so clinical, particularly when we were attacking their line, and the amount of times that they were offside or hands in the ruck. But they just were relentless, that they didn't want Ireland to cross their line anymore.
Well, the All Blacks have always had the attitude that they will concede 3 points if it stops seven, and as many times as it needs to be done. That's their attitude, and that's the attitude of winners.
Yeah, but I mean, I just thought that the referee, Yonker, was brutal. I mean, he seemed to be going for his pocket a couple of times, but he didn't. He kind of bottled out of it.
Well, they're really good at it. I mean, they really are. I mean, we all know about the talk about Richie McCaw and is Paddy O'Brien putting pressure on. I don't think that there's any nefarious backstory to it at all. I just think that they're really, really good at what they do at every element of the game.
Including
the dark arts.
Yeah, but there was a number of rucks on their line, 5 metres out, just on the north stand end, that they were quite clearly coming in, putting hands up, and they conceded penalty after penalty. And as you said, they were quite prepared to give away the 3 points. But at that stage, we had to keep going for either a scrum or going to touch, because we were that little bit too far away that 3 points was really any use to us.
Well, it's a legitimate defensive tactic. I mean, how many times did they concede those penalties in the channel between the posts out to, say, halfway? Very, very rarely. So part of their defensive tactic, and part of any team's defensive tactic, if we're honest about it, is to push the opposition wide and concede the penalty where the kick isn't on. You know, because...
But they kind of built up they've already built up a lead, that at that stage, the attacking team has to go for another line out to try and get back into contention.
You know? It's the holistic approach. You know, rip them apart with tries and then break their hearts with penalties. That's what they do. I mean, it's what they've always done. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a professional sport. We are a team at the upper end of that professional sport. I mean, we're one of the... Although we've dropped in the last 12 months down to sixth or seventh, I think. But, you know, we are a team at the upper end of that professional sport. So we're looking to be matching these teams. And, again, the brutal truth is we haven't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we still lost by 20 points when all is said and done.
And we suffered a few injuries as well. Luke's out for 6 weeks. Rob is
dodgy. Brody Best got a bang in his face.
Yeah, he's out for a few weeks as well.
A couple of injuries there that the provinces could do without.
And I heard today that they've delayed the team because they're waiting on Ferris and Wallace, I think, have picked up injuries as well.
It was a very physical game for the back rows. I mean, our back row did very, very well against a vaunted combination, but when you're playing the All Blacks, it is very physical. Not out of dirt, but on the All Blacks, because when they hit you, they do.
Well, you've got to put your body on the line to stop it being a 60-point game.
Well, that's it, yeah. But they do. You do have to repeatedly kill yourself, you know, to stop them, and that's just the way it is. Yeah, I mean, you come out of a game against the All Blacks. The only thing is, the game against Argentina is going to be equally physical, a different kind of physical, but it's going to be a grinding game as well. So, you know, guys are going to be feeling the pain. So there.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe we'll just have a quick look at Ferris's try before we go and talk about the RG game.
Yeah. Well, Ferris's try was another well-constructed try. A couple of guys took the ball up before it was released, and Ferris did. There was talk with a forward. I don't think it was forward, but what it was beautifully timed. It was just the way he popped it up that makes it look.
I thought it was forward.
It does look slightly forward from that kind of angle, which is at an angle. Whether it was forward or not, the thing about it was that it was a thoughtful pass, because he puts the guy into a hole.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. I mean, out halves are always trying to do it. you know, put the on running player into a hole, and that's what Heaslip does there. It was quite clever. But it was good use of the ball, and
they
it was
got good
pace.
Width on it.
Yeah. And there you go. It's useful when you've got guys like Ferris and like Heaslip.
Yeah, big guys who can run at you.
Big pacey guys, but who are skillful guys with the ball. You know, I mean, Heaslip is able to throw that little pop. Ferris is able to catch it. You know, not every forward in the world can do either.
We put ourselves under enormous pressure, even from the kickoffs. I mean, I can't remember one kickoff that we fielded.
No, well, that's another part of professionalism.
It was like as though that they got, it was like giving the ball back to them. We didn't compete, or certainly, if they kicked the ball off into us, it didn't come back on our side.
Well, that's
and then you're starting to
that's another aspect of the holistic approach, the whole game approach that New Zealand have, the whole game professional approach. A restart is how many times will you see a team practicing scrums or lineouts? They'll spend ages doing it. You wonder how many times do they spend practicing lineouts, because you know New Zealand are spending hours doing it, because it's not an accident that Dan Carter kicks the ball exactly where he wants it to go every single time, and it's not an accident that his chasers, lifters, blockers, everything are there at the same time.
I remember
as a result of repeated work on the training.
But going back to the 90s, I remember Eric Elwood used to hang up some fantastic balls, and it doesn't seem like, you know, neither O'Gara nor Sexton seem to do it as much for Ireland. As you know, we seem to go a little bit deeper, which just kicks the ball back straight into their back row rather than dropping it onto the 10-meter line, which is giving you a 50-50
chance of winning the ball. Yeah. No, it's just a matter of that professional approach again. They want the ball back. I mean, it's as simple as that. So what's the best way of doing it? It's by repeating these drills until they're perfectly executed.
They just seem to be able to get a mismatch, don't they? Like when they run at you, it just always seems to be a 2-on-1 created so fast.
Yeah, but the thing is, it never seems to be. You know, it's not like they just happen to look into these 50 or 60 times out of 100. The reason that they always get a mismatch is because that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And they're quite prepared to take the ball up through an extra 2 or 3 phases until they create a situation where they have a centre running on a prop and the inside shoulder of a prop. You know, that's what they're looking for every single time. And if they don't have it, they're patient enough and confident enough in their own ball retention abilities to just go back to the jam, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, we've got the Argentinian match now on Sunday, and Argentina were narrowly beaten by France at the weekend. So I think it's going to be, they're probably not as good as a team as they were when they're kind of in the World Cup in 2007, but they're still going to be a tough match for us, especially if we're carrying quite a few injuries.
Oh yeah, the thing about Argentina is you always have to be, if they have anything like resembling a first 15 out, you're going to have to be on your game to beat them. I mean, it's funny enough, when you consider two teams who hate the British so much, you think we'd be better friends. But it's a real grudge match.
But I mean, it's going back to Lons back in
1999,
when they kicked us out of the World
there's
Cup.
There's a lot of history between these two teams. And there's history between the teams. There's history between the players both within Ireland, between Felipe and the Munster lads, between the guys playing in France and the Irish provinces from repeated clashes in the Heineken Cup. There's an awful lot going on. I mean, the referee will need to have eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah, well, I was actually over in France for that match in the World Cup in 2007 against Argentina. And, you know, the amount of sledging that was going on between the Munster contingent and even O'Driscoll was getting involved with Contepomi. You know, there's a real dislike between
them. Oh, there is, yeah. Oh, there is. I mean, familiarity is bred contempt, as I said, like with those teams. You know, that was a match we had to win. I mean, we had to win. We had to score tries. But we let ourselves get dragged into these little bushfires up and down the pitch. Every time a ruck broke up, you could just see lads rolling on the floor, flurry of fists everywhere, you know? And that game kind of symbolised the entire World Cup campaign. It was just, that campaign was a shambles from start to finish. And that match was a shambles from start to finish.
Argentina just drag you down to their level.
Oh, they do, yeah. That's what they're good at. I mean, what they want to do, they want to play 10-man rugby, you know?
Yeah.
They want to scrum. So if they can drag you down to a situation where you're more bothered about the Bosch than the ball, they're as happy as Larry.
Mm. Yeah, and there's a bit of controversy off the pitch as well, because the our Leinster Rangers selling tickets now for half price.
Well, yeah, they can either get rid of the tickets or they can incinerate them. I mean, you know, they have to sell them somehow. So, I mean, we discussed, we said about the Samoa match that it was it wasn't a 50 quid game, it was a 30 quid game, and this isn't a 95 quid game, it's a 50 quid game. So the price has kind of reached its level. The market has set its level.
But anyone
that's a note to you, Mr. Lennon.
And anyone who's been at an Argentina match knows that it's just a slug bore fest.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you go to an Ireland Argentina game because you want to support Ireland, you're not going to watch the rugby. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know, let's rant for left in a situation where they had all these tickets, so they had to get rid of them, and it's better that the stadium the seats are filled than left empty. I mean, I know some people who paid full whack for the tickets would be disappointed, and I don't blame them. But you know,
I think we've got used to that, though. You know, in our society, it's sort of the Ryanair thing that if someone buys a ticket for a euro and somebody beside them buys it for 100 quid, that's life. Get on with it.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's not a cause for complaint as such. It's still a nerf knowing that you've got 50 quid's worth of drinking vouchers that you've wasted. You know,
that's true.
Especially knowing you waste them on flipping Argentina.
Mm. Well, anyway. Speaking of drinking vouchers, Dave, we'll discuss the Leinster match against the Dragons last weekend. Four tries, great win. Brought us right back into contention in the league, up to joint fourth now.
Yeah, you can see with every single match Leinster play, you can see what Schmidt is trying to do. Some of the play that that our backs indulged themselves in on Friday night was excellent. It really was. It reminds me actually of the early days of Leinster when Noxey was in charge. I mean, Leinster back then were renowned for their back play, but the thing about it was that it wasn't based on a playbook. David Knox famously, he only had two or three set moves. There was that Gaffney loop, there was a couple of rangies and a double rangie, and the rest was all to do with guys doing the right thing with the ball and having the skills and the confidence to do it. And I think that's what Schmidt has brought back to the back line, along with obviously the discipline learned since in the forwards and in defence.
But you can just see the class of Byrne and Horgan coming back.
You know,
they were just exceptional on the night.
Well, they combined here beautifully for Sean Byrne's try. I mean, it's good forward play, first of all, to set it up. Boss, who I think actually had a good game, gets the ball away quick, and it just goes wide fast. And that's what we're talking about, good ball handling forwards in the midfield again. And Shane Horgan, you know, spots a chance, but it's the offload.
Great
here.
Offload.
Beautiful offload, and great support from the guys as well. And that let Shane Byrne in. You know, very, very happy with that try. I mean, he is a very good footballer.
Yeah, but he's kind of like, he's just a brilliant guy to have, you know, that's not probably going to be in a starting Heineken Cup 15. But to have him coming in as sort of, I'd say, for want of a better word, playing for our seconds.
Yeah.
That you've got someone with his skill that can come in
and
can dictate a game from 10.
Well, you know, how he dictates a game is different to the traditional Irish way that an out half would dictate a game. In Ireland, an out half would dictate a game by kicking the corners.
Mm.
What he does is he dictates a game by getting the back line moving.
He runs the back line fantastically.
Moving at the right time and putting the players into space to give them a chance to make ground. I mean, we had numerous opportunities to kick the ball, which we didn't take. Mm. Because Byrne was able to make more ground and keep possession
but you'll see now where he kicks the ball, but he kicks it for Horgan. You know, that sort of patented move that Horgan's become famous for.
Yeah, what people often say, it's Gaelic football skills. I mean, that's a line that goes slightly awry. So obviously, something has to be done.
Yeah.
You know, we suck in a few guys. And you can actually see at one point here, it's coming up when the angle goes wide. You can see that the Dragon centres are not happy about the cover out wide. If you notice here now, the outside centre is trying to wave guys over because he knows he obviously sees Shane Horgan loitering with intent.
Yeah.
But it's a beautifully placed kick, and it's well taken by Horgan as well. Fullback, Dragon's winger should have done more to keep him out wide to make the conversion more difficult.
He had a poor game anyway.
Yeah, he did.
We'll see it shortly, but
yeah.
You know, for Horgan's second try. But it's great to see someone like Shane coming back. You know, I mean, someone with maybe whatever he has, 60-odd Ireland caps,
mm-hmm.
could easily just throw the hat at it and say,
you
know, I've been there, done that. But he's actually very hungry and wanting. Like, he's played great this season, I think.
He's been very good. I believe this try broke 300 Magnus League points for him.
Is it?
Which is a lot of tries. Mm. A lot of points, you know.
I sort of read in the paper that it's over 60 tries he scored now in his career, which is a phenomenal amount of tries.
It's an incredible amount of tries, but he's always been a very good winger. I mean, even in his worst season, if you remember, 3 years ago, he had a very, very poor season. Guy still scored 8 tries.
Mm.
which is a perfectly respectable goal.
Even when he was dropped against Connacht, remember that?
Yeah.
And down in the sports grounds, and he came back and, you know, Cheka dropped him for whatever reason. He came on as sub and he scored a try, which, again, was one of those little stepping stones to get us the title that season.
That's right, yeah. No, he's a very good player, and he's an intelligent player, and he does seem to care about the team. You know, you never see him. He mightn't play well, or he might play very well, but it's never through a lack of effort.
But do you remember the way he chased down, Jordan Murphy in the Heineken Cup match against Leicester in the RDS 2 or 3 years ago? I mean, he sprinted back from their line to our line to make that fantastic tackle.
He made two tackles. I mean, he made the initial tackle, then he got back in line to make the hit.
Yeah, for the turnover.
That's what the guy does. He brings enormous effort to the whether he's playing well or poorly. It's never a lack of effort with Shane Horgan. He's always given his best.
Yeah, I thought McFadden and O'Malley played well in this game in the centre for us.
Oh, they did, yeah.
They're growing into their role.
One guy I thought who's much maligned actually is Isaac Boss. Isaac Boss, I thought, has been a good signing for us. I mean, he's not the flashiest out half or scrum half, but he does his job well. You can see it here. I mean, we've got a badly reading scrum, but he still gets Horgan in a one-on-one with the winger. Look at this tackle, too. Oh, it's terrible. But if you're a winger...
He was brought back from the Welsh squad.
Yeah, well, now you know why.
He's still an international guy. You know, he's playing and training with
But if you're Shane Horgan, if you're an international winger like Shane Horgan is, a lion, all you want is a one-on-one. That's what you want.
He just swats him aside there.
I mean, your man, it's a terrible effort at a tackle. But it's amazing how many times guys make terrible efforts at tackles against guys of Shane Horgan's pedigree.
Mm.
I mean, how many times have guys made terrible tackles on the likes of Dougie Howlett or Dennis Hickey or, you know, anyone of that quality?
Well, Horgan's a big unit, and the guy wasn't that big a fella. He was kind of Shane Williams-esque.
Horgan managed to slap away his hands for the first attempt he made at a tackle, and after that his hair wasn't in it.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying about the young lads, you can see them. This try actually ably demonstrates, you know, what they're doing. I mean, it all comes from a block down. It was Dragon's possession, and they tried to kick clear, and it was blocked down. But, I mean, we've got a sloppy pass here after I was talking about Shane Byrne. But, you know, O'Malley's on it, and he sets up the ball again, goes back to the safety of his forwards. Take it up a time or two. Good phase play here. You know, this is young Jack, Jason Harris Wright, another good player. Dominic Ryan, all these young guys. I mean, it's amazing where they're all coming from. I mean, and this is what it really means. I mean,
it's great feature.
Inside, outside,
and a nice offload.
Good step.
And he shows a lovely bit of confidence there to be. You know, like a lot of players would have been the glory hunter and gone trying
especially
to get
young
in.
Players would have been. Yeah.
But he showed great awareness there to know that Boss was on his right hand side.
Confidence. He showed confidence both in Boss being their support and confidence in his own ability to make that pass. But also, he showed confidence in that. You know, young fellas, they want to be scoring the tries. They're a bit where, oh, is my place in the team secure? Is it not? He showed confidence in his own ability that, you know, in his own professional ability that he'd get back into the team, that he didn't need to glory hunt the try.
Exactly,
you know? Showed his dedication to the team ethic.
But, you know, that would probably stand to him more.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so, yeah. I'd say Joe Smith would value that pass more than he would if...
Because he guaranteed a try.
...tried to score a try, yeah, because that was... That's a dead cert try, as Ron would call a stone bonker.
Yeah. I thought Jennings had a poor game.
Did you think so? Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I think there's elements of frustration coming out of him now with the little trip that he put in for their first penalty. I think it's frustration that he's not getting in the international team when there was an opportunity there for him at the start of the season to try and get a place on the you know, especially if he had his opportunity over in Australia and New Zealand, and I just felt that he kind of let himself down a little bit.
Possibly. I can understand him being narked. I mean, there are guys in the international team who don't really deserve to be there, and Shane Jennings is a far better player than some of them. Mm. Not necessarily in his position, but, you know, within the squad. But the best way to overcome that is by knuckling down and working hard.
If you just contrast the way that Horgan has reacted to it and Jennings has reacted to it, you know, I think there's a lot for Jennings to learn there.
Yeah, I think so. I think Shane Horgan's attitude is the model attitude for a professional player dealing with disappointment.
Or someone like Stringer, you know,
yeah, well,
who's got his opportunity and taken it.
again, whatever you say about Peter Stringer, you could never accuse him of being anything less than 100% professional.
Mm.
The way he lives his life, the way he conducts himself, you know, he's always been a professional. And those guys are the examples that young fellas like Dominic Ryan and Owen O'Malley and all these young players that are coming out of Ireland, that Grand Slam winning team a couple of years ago, they're looking at these older players who are setting a superb example for them. And you know, sometimes, so it's hard for say somebody like Shane Jennings. I mean, it must be frustrating for him. He's a very good player. He's playing with one of the best teams in Europe and playing well with that team and has captained that team. But he's, no matter what he does, well, you know, we all know the Kidney's never going to pick him and Cullen unless he's got absolutely no choice for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but we know that they're never going to get near the Irish team unless they're the last men standing. Kidney has his reasons, whatever they are. But
well, I mean, that's why he left to go to Leicester. It was frustration.
Oh, there was, yeah.
He probably jumped ship because he didn't realise that Kidney was...
And jumped ship himself, yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was a bit of a mixed bag from old Clint. You know, I thought his scrummaging was poor. He's a huge unit, but I thought his scrummaging was poor. He was getting lifted up.
Yeah, I think that Southern Hemisphere players, none of them, realise how good the Magners League actually is, even against a weak team like Dragons. I don't think they realise it. I remember David Howell came over, and his first match, he couldn't believe the intensity of his first match.
Mm.
And he realised that he had to get on top of his game. This was in the Celtic League days, in order just to survive in the league. We've seen it before with other players as well, who've often thought the Magners League is a bit of a cakewalk, and have found out pretty damn quick that it's not. So he's going to have to knuckle down. It's hard for the guy. The guy's after playing a full season of rugby, and he's probably been on a break since.
Mm.
You know, and... I'm not saying he's in his class, but all I remember is the last time we brought over a dodgy prop from the Southern Hemisphere, who didn't impress on his first game, he turned out to be Stan Wright.
Yeah.
So, you know, give.
Oh no, we have to give him a chance. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was just critical of him in the scrum.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I thought he showed up very well in broken play.
Showed up well in loose, all right. Yeah. So maybe it's just a technical thing.
No, I mean, I think it's going to take a few games for him to get up to pace because, as you say, he could be off. Whether it's a week or 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, if someone's sitting back and having a couple of beers on the beach.
One thing we do know is that the game is refereed different in the Northern and Southern Hemisphere, mm-hmm. so it takes a while to adjust to those.
But I think they targeted him.
Oh, I think they probably
did.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? That's what you do. You know, you target the new boy because...
But their loose head got right under him and they lifted him up out of the scrum a couple of times.
Strong neck on him.
Mm-hmm.
he's a big lad, so... Clint.
Yeah, he's a big unit. But, you know, small enough crowd. I mean, we're saying small enough crowd, 10,000.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, I was disappointed with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I know it was the night before at international and that people had forked out for maybe a couple of the other internationals the weeks before. And obviously it was a weakened team against a weaker team.
I think what we had was the perfect storm we had. A game that actually kicked off quite early. I mean, 7:15... If you finish work at 6:30, it doesn't leave you a whole lot of time. Then you had the international the next day against the All Blacks. You had a weaker Leinster team against one of the weaker teams in the Magna League. Dragons are perennially near the bottom, although I still think they've more talent than they display. So you had a perfect storm that I think contributed to that low turnout. It's unfortunate. I mean, the people who didn't show up missed some crack in rugby. I mean, Leinster played really, really well, played some really progressive rugby, so they didn't show that the game that Irish players are capable of playing that high tempo, offloading, find the space, get into the space game that everybody says is the future of rugby.
Yeah, but you know, as you said, people did miss that opportunity to go and see it, but I think the other teams in the league did us a bit of a favour at the weekend. Munster not getting a bonus point win mm-hmm. against Scarlets. Scarlets only picking up one,
mm-hmm.
kept them in second place. Ulster hammering Cardiff.
Did us another
good favour because Ulster and ourselves are on 23 points, mm-hmm. I think Cardiff are on 24. So it's kind of, you know, I think Munster are about 8 points ahead of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're in joint fourth or fifth place, I suppose, maybe on
points difference. Yeah, well, that's it. If results had gone one way, it could have tightened it up very tight. If they'd gone the other way, it could have extended. But what it did, it tightened it up a little, which is all we want. I mean, we're getting into a phase now where we're beginning to play well. Players are finding form. Our internationals hopefully will be back unhindered soon enough. Although we had a few injuries in the New Zealand game. So hopefully these kind of results will set us up. I mean, it must be very heartening for the guys who are away to see.